From the Two Buffalo Studios in Bradenton, Florida, welcome to Indigenous in the News. I'm your host, Larry Kay from the Ho-Chunk Nation, along with Gary Wilcox from the Powhatan Nation. On today's show, we're thrilled to welcome Dallas Arcand, joining us from Edmonton, Alberta. Dallas is a three-time world champion, hoop dancer, teacher, and mentor who's dedicated to inspiring others through his artistry and knowledge. Today, we'll dive into his incredible journey, explore his many achievements, and hear all about the upcoming release of his new book this summer, 13 Hoops, Life's Lessons Lived and Learned.
From the Two Buffalo Studios in Bradenton, Florida, welcome to another edition of Indigenous in the News. I'm your host, Gary Wilcox. Joining me today is Larry Kay. How's it going today, Larry?
I'm doing well down here in Florida. How are you doing, Gary?
I'm doing great. It's chilly.
All right. Today, our guest is coming all the way from Edmonton, Alberta. His career spans for more than 30 years, and he's here to share his story and tell us about his upcoming release of his new book, 13 Hoops, Life's Lessons Lived and Learned.
Hi, Dallas. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Dallas.
Hey, guys.
How you doing today?
Good. How about yourselves?
Doing well.
Doing good.
Great to have you on the show. Welcome. Why don't we start with an introduction?
All right. Well, hello, everybody out there in TV and radio land.
Yeah.
We're all, I guess nowadays, social media land and all the all the virtual landscapes out there. And
nice.
It's great to be Indigenous this day and age, you know, because we can shine on all these platforms and we have a lot more resources and tools. And that's what I love about social media is a lot of our young people are coming up in a big way to showcase in many different formats, everything from fashion, music, television, creative stuff like funny videos and, you know, very creative videos. There's a lot of TikTok stars and social media stars out there nowadays. And, I feel like I got left behind by all those young guys, but I'm still going. I'm still keeping on my path. That's all I can say. So thank you guys for having me on your radio show today. It's a great honor and a privilege. And I thank you guys so much for having me here today.
Right on.
So Dallas, tell us about your new book, 13 Hoops, Life's Lessons Lived and Learned.
Yeah, well, here's my new book here, 13 Hoops, Life's Lessons Lived and Learned. So it's an Indigenous contemporary interpretation of the world through the lens of a world champion hoop dancer. So what I share in this book is a combined 30 years of experience of things that I've learned in my life.
Nice.
And nice. I definitely incorporate a lot of our oral tradition because as many of you know that our culture, in our Indigenous culture, oral tradition is how we pass on the knowledge and how the knowledge is passed on from generation to generation and how our knowledge has actually survived through colonialization and assimilation. And, you know, our culture is still here today because of the oral storytelling. So I felt it was very important to put in the book. So each chapter actually has a QR code that prompts you. All you got to do is scan over it and you can go to the oral part of the chapter in which I share some knowledge. So the reason why I call it 13 Hoops is because I myself, I use 13 Hoops. It's one of the main hoop dance routines that I do. And part of the reason why is because an elder brought it to my attention when I was composing the routine. I was trying to make something that was more significant and connected to our culture. And so back in those times when I was younger, I thought about in our Cree language, we have names for every month. So I made very, very much sense for me to make the hoop dance routine alongside the months, because every new month, I remember in our language, it means something different. It's a different time of the year. You know, like right now is the winter months, right? So we have those winter moons. And then it was brought to my attention that our people never followed the linear calendar. The elders told me that our people followed the moon cycle. and that every year we have 13 moons that circulate the Earth, and that was our traditional way of counting the months,
right,
and a way of living in harmony with the land and Mother Earth and Grandmother Moon. So that's how that came about, and that's why I named my book after it, 13 hooks, in honor of that 13 moon cycle.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of what that represents, and that's why I named it that way. And then the book is very reflective of that. So I have 13 chapters in the book. So each chapter, I share it just like how our ancestors, I try to keep it in line with our ancestral knowledge. Not that I know a lot about it, but I'm definitely an aspiring knowledge keeper and storyteller myself. So I felt that it was important to perpetuate that message and put that message out there and use those images and that sacred put forth into the 21st century and beyond, and just to keep our culture going and going strong. Now, one of the reasons why I did this book in the first place is when I started this journey as a hoop dancer, as an artist, I remember back in my college days, I was hungry for knowledge, and I didn't really find a lot of books in the library on our people, by our people. So I figured this is part of my legacy to leave for the next generation, for my children and my grandchildren. Mm-hmm. And speaking of which, I do have grandchildren. I know, like the typical grandpa, yeah, but I do have, I'm a Mutchum in the Cree language. That means grandpa. So oh, I have three, I'm proud to say I have three grandchildren. I'm very blessed. And that's for them. That's for their generation and beyond. And so our culture survives and thrives into the future. So that's part of the reason why I did this book. So that's what that book's all about there.
All right.
Was there a lot of planning put into the book?
Oh, yeah. There was a lot of trial and error. There's a lot of planning. Mm-hmm. I've been picking away at it for the past 5 years.
Wow.
You know, I made attempts at it, you know, and it's
sure.
It's like when you're writing a book, it's like you look at it like it's Mount Everest. Like, how the hell am I going to climb up there? You know, how the hell am I going to do that? It's impossible.
Wow.
And then you just kind of inch away at it. You make a plan. You aspire to do it. You say you want to do it. You manifest it, and you work towards it. So every little inch counts all along the way. Like this first edition that I'm showing you here, this is only the prototype. So this is only about 20,000 words.
Gotcha.
That will be done actually tomorrow. It's actually in final editing right now. The current word count right now for the final book, the final product, is 75,000 words.
All right. Wow.
So it's going to be a very resourceful tool for teachers and knowledge keepers in the future. And that's just my best effort into my contribution, not only as a hoop dancer and an artist, but also now as an author. I felt it was my duty to do that. So I had to basically rewrite this book about, I'd say about 5 or 6 times before I got it right. So it was a long process. It was a lot of work.
Can you tell us about what drew you to being a hoop dancer? Like, how did you get involved in that? How'd that come about?
It was an accidental discovery for me because I grew up in Edmonton, and I grew up half on reserve and half in the city. So sometimes I'd be living on the res and sometimes I'd be in the city. But all the while I was always around my own people, my indigenous side of my family. And that's all I ever known growing up. And nobody in my family did any dancing at the time. And I didn't know of powwows. I'd never been to a powwow until I was like maybe about 13 or 14 years old. And I wasn't as connected as I wanted to be maybe. And I didn't know anything about it. You know, I had my Indian status card, and that's all I knew is res life and res life, watching the aunties play bingo and, you know, all the stuff that goes with it. I didn't see much culture. And that's partially what residential schools took away from my generation and my parents' generation and my grandparents' generation. That's kind of where it all started. And so how I got was attending an all-Indigenous school in Edmonton called the Ben Cathrobe School. And while I was going to that school, I had a friend that was in my class, and we would hang out every day. His name was Joe Chatsis. He was from Saskatchewan. He was another Cree. He was more full than me. Like, I'm a mixed Cree. Like, he's, but anyways, one day I went to Joe's place after school, and you know, like after school, buddies hang out. And so I was hanging out at Joe's place, and all of a sudden I noticed there's a big pile of hoops. And first thing I did is I was like, hey man, what are these for? Are these for hula hooping? And you know, me being the class clown that I am, I kind of was making fun of it. And he's like, no, that's not for hula hooping. We don't do no hula hooping here. And then he's like, it's hoop dance. And then, okay, well, what's hoop dance? I have no idea what hoop dancing is. And then so, poof, he showed me. And it was like this new magic trick to me. It was like, I was so fascinated and just inspired right on the spot there. And he showed me a video of him dancing in a video and doing his hoop dance. And eventually I went to his performances and I seen him do it for real. And it just uplifted my spirit. I just felt like it ripped the spirit out of my body. Sure. and sort of like showed me who I am right there. And so Joe showed me a couple of moves to start out with. And so for about a year or two, I was in the closet hoop dancer, because I had no intention of performing and being a hoop dancer. I just loved to, I thought it was cool to do these tricks, like to make yourself into an eagle, or to flop it around and make it into a flower shape, or or make all these shapes. Nice. And so I thought it was just so cool. So that's how I kind of got into it. And eventually, after a year or two of practicing, it was the encouragement of my family, because they seen that I was doing something other than getting in trouble with the law and, you know, getting in trouble at school or whatever. They noticed I had a talent for it, and they noticed that, you know, it kept me out of trouble. So they encouraged me to do that. And that's kind of how I got into it. And I'm grateful for it, because, you know, in a way it actually saved my life, because a lot of people, you know, the statistics, I don't know how the statistics are in the United States, but in Canada, they're really high for Indigenous men ending up in jail or in gangs or on the streets or, you know, into heavy drugs and stuff like that. So in a way, it brought me closer to the culture, and I'm grateful for that. So that's, in a way, the hoop dancing, it really saved my life. So I thank the Creator for that gift, and it's given me so much in my life, and I'm grateful for it.
Good story.
Dallas, can you tell us about DJ Crazy Cree, and can you talk a little bit more about how you got into electronic music and how the mix inspired, and how you inspired the mix into traditional elements as well, indigenous elements?
Okay, yeah, that's an easy one. I'm sure a lot of you guys have heard of and DJ Shub, and well, there's Boogie the Beat. There's so many, but because of technology, though, we've been able to do that. Because I remember back in the day, way before social media or even, I was spinning records. I was a DJ. I'm also into hip hop culture, because hip hop culture, if you ever look into what hip hop culture is, it's not just Black people or Hispanic people. Was a culture that came from oppressed people. I guess it originated in New York. But there's like a cesspool of many different cultures there of poor people. So the original version of hip hop kind of a voice in a way, and it gave the people a platform. And there's everything from DJing, MCing, breakdancing, graffiti, and you know, there's many different elements of hip hop. So that's why a lot of our young people relate to hip hop music. That's how I related to. Yes. Like, one of my favorite rappers back in the day was, you know, Young MC, all the way from Young MC to Tupac to Digital Underground to Ice-T, and you know, and so on and so forth. There's so many great rappers out there. that hip hop is you know, like an organic way of sharing a voice from the grassroots level of people, and basically everything from pop culture to you know, also like what's going on in the hood, and in a way it's our voice as people. So how I got into it is you know, I've also wrote my own hip hop music. I've rapped. You know, I am a rapper. I can rap. I
nice.
I got the chops. You know, ever since I was a kid, I was into music. Like back in the res, you know, like I remember the adults, they would always pull out guitars and sing all night, and they would play the spoons and. You know, that was sure they used the party, but it was fun times. You know, it wasn't always bad times, and I remember that was one of the good things that came out of watching or being around the adults when they're having their little parties or their little fiestas, you know, that's one thing. Music, I was always fascinated by guitar and all kinds of music, singing. So that's kind of how I got into it. It was just part of my culture in a way. And that's how I was brought into it. I was cultured into it. And back in the day, I used to make mixtapes and DJ. I was just playing music, like mixing music. I would play one record over here, a CD here. And then I used to put a tape on record and I would mix my tracks. And then I would just give away the tapes to people, like, or else I would just play it in my... Back in the days, used to have a tape player and have
right,
one that
right.
on repeat. So I've been doing DJing since way back in the day. So I figured when Tribe Called Red came out with their own version, I figured my version. So I collaborated with my cousin and a couple of friends and a couple of people that I knew that did traditional songs. Because when I started... The cultural element of things. I started out as a drummer and a singer, but I'm not such a good in the cultural songs. So that's why I ended up being a better dancer than a singer. So, but I still wanted to participate in the music. So that's why I decided to produce my own DJ Crazy Cree album in Future Generations. That was the first album that I did.
Good album.
So yeah, it turned out pretty good. Hey, like, It was something that I just put together just off of what I know and some visions and some experimenting with the music, and it actually won a music award, and I'm very grateful for that. And you know, before the pandemic, I was actually scheduled to go on tour all across the Eastern Seaboard, all the way from Canada all the way down to Florida. But the pandemic kind of killed my career as a DJ, and so that's how I just kind of put it aside for now. But I plan on releasing some new material. I sent Larry a new track that I've been holding on to for a while, and it's a good track because it kind of interprets some of the language, and that's for me, that's the most important part of the music is sharing some of the culture and language.
What is today's song about?
Today's song is Naka Cha, so that's it's a slang word in the Cree language. It means like holy or real deadly kind of means.
Right on.
It's just kind of a, you know, like we have a couple of slang words that we say in Cree, like we say wahwah. Wahwah is like holy, like and Naka Cha is like Naka Cha. Sometimes you'll hear those powwow announcers, they'll say that, when they're, especially up north in our powwow circuit here in the summer, you'll hear, Naka Cha, that guy's a good dancer, wah, wah, you know, like that's kind of like our way. So, and the song that you're going to hear that I sent you, it's interpreted in English, and it's interpreted in Cree and English, so he goes back and forth. That's my cousin, actually, Stan Arcan Jr., that's the song composer.
Nice, nice.
What I did is I recorded him, and then we did the music to what he did, and we recorded the track to a metronome. So that's how we're able to use Western instruments to line it up so that it fits in that realm.
Cool, awesome. Today we're speaking with Dellis Arcan. He's a three-time world champion hoop dancer, teacher, and mentor. We're learning about his journey along with the upcoming release of his new book this summer, 13 Hoops, Life's Lessons Lived and Learned. You can read all about Dellis and get a hold of him on his homepage at dellisarkan.ca. Here is the new music release from Dellis. Here is Nukacha.
It looks good that you're dancing here. It's very good that we've come again to have fun. You've come once again to powwow, and it is very beautiful that you are here to dance. Imiona kwanka ni mituik. It looks good that you're dancing. Pichikista makuta. Tapui tatagake. We have come here to have fun, and this is very good. Asaminak pipuatsimuik. You are here to powwow again. Miwasin takani mituik. It's very good that you are here to dance. Pretty much what it means. We have come here to have fun, and this is very good.
Nice.
Wow. Are you also the creator of Powwow and the Dance, right, Aerobics?
Yeah, I do a program called Powwow Dance Aerobics. Yeah. I just started again here in the beginning of the new year. I decided to get started on that again. And I originally started that back in the pandemic when everybody had to stay home.
Mm-hmm.
I was happy about it at first because, being an artist, I was always traveling. I was always living out of a suitcase. And then finally, everything just kind of came to a halt. And then I was like, oh, okay, well, I don't mind this. Staying home is like a vacation. And then after 2 months of it, I was getting a little stir crazy. And I was like, oh, man.
A lot of dancing.
Yeah. So I would do that on my own. But like I always practice and work out on my own. But I figure, why don't I share this with people and educate people and help our people get healthy? Like mm-hmm. not just the business people, but it was a platform that I designed to invite others in too to learn, because there's a lot of people that are curious about indigenous culture, powwow, yeah. Want to learn about dancing, that want to be connected, right?
Right.
Absolutely.
How has the audience responded? What are they saying? They like it? I know I like it.
Yeah. A lot of the audience that participated in it, there's people young and old. Mm-hmm. A lot of the elderly folks, they always tell me that it helps them, even though they have issues. Like some people have, they're struggling with their health. Like recently somebody shared that they have an autoimmune disease and they have fibromyalgia and all kinds of stuff, but they still try to do my Powwow Dance Aerobics program because, it helps them. Any little bit of effort that we make to improve our health and to exercise and to work out, it helps. And that's part of my message with my program is, like as we know, and a lot of other Indigenous people across North America know that we have a lot of health issues in our communities, everything from diabetes to like cancer to addictions problems to, obesity and so on mm-hmm. and so forth. program encourages, though, it's one little defense mechanism, or one little mechanism that you can use, one tool that you can use to fight against all that. It's better than nothing. So it's start to something, and that's what I make my platform. It's a friendly version of taking a proactive approach to your health and also to getting healthy.
Right on. Oh. Today we're speaking with Dallas Arcan, hoop dancer, mentor, and musician. What advice do you have for young Indigenous artists and performers getting into the scene?
Well, believe in yourself and follow your dreams and follow your passion out far in life, because, you know, like, it all starts with you out there. So just believe in yourself and keep going and keep growing and mm-hmm. and just keep investing in yourself. The best investment you can ever make in life is in yourself. And so by doing that, you can grow into many things in life. And so just believe in yourself and make your dreams come true and keep manifesting those things that you want in life, and they will happen. And it takes consistency, because the first step to 1,000 miles is taking that first single step. Mm-hmm. And eventually you will get there, because the journey of 1,000 miles begins with a single step.
Salute. Good words.
Alex, where can we find your book, and what is the best way to get a hold of you?
Well, I do have a website, DallasArcan.ca. I believe I sent you the link, mm-hmm. and it's poster. So you can Google me, Dallas Arcan. And there's actually two Dallas Arcans out there, because I have a son, yeah. Dallas Arcan Jr.
All right.
And I'm proud to say that my son does exactly what I do as well, but even better. He's the browner, handsomer version of me. He's the browner. me uh-huh. And he's the one who's blessing me with all my grandchildren. He has 3 children now, and those are where all my grandchildren are. And I'm very proud of my son and my daughter, because I believe that I've helped to break the cycle in the next generation, because I've done all I can as a father and a provider to make a better life for my children. Mm-hmm. And I believe that's one of my greatest accomplishments in life.
Good job. Oh. Mm-hmm.
Dallas, it was a pleasure having you with us today. I learned a lot about you, and thank you for all the great things that you do for our communities. Thank you so much.
Right on.
Thank you, Gary.
Yeah, thank you for stopping by and giving our listening audience a chance to meet you, and it's a pleasure to have you on today's show. So thank you, Dallas. Stop by again.
Thanks, Larry.
Yeah. Thank you for tuning in to Indigenous in the News and supporting us and our entrepreneurs. Indigenous in the News has been produced by Larry Kay. Our engineer is Paul Salvatore. Our theme music is composed by Lenny Long. Today's show has been recorded at the Two Buffalo Studios in Bradenton, Florida. Come visit us at indigenousmusicandarts.org to hear all of our past shows and learn all about the great programs that we provide. Until next time, from all of us here at Indigenous in the News, have yourself a wonderful week and safe journeys. Indigenous in the News is a production of Indigenous in Music and Arts.